From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, y'all. Rob Cairns here. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. I hope everybody's having an amazing day. In today's podcast, I sit down with my friend Birgit Pauli-Hack, the founder of Gutenberg Times and the Gutenberg Changelog, and we talk about, of course, all things Gutenberg. Sit down, relax, and enjoy this amazing conversation. Hey, everybody. Rob Cairns here. I'm here with my friend Birgit Pauli-Hack, otherwise known as the one who does Gutenberg Times and Gutenberg Changelog. How are you today, Birgit?
Well, hi, Robert. I'm well. I was really excited to talking to you today. So thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, and you're welcome. And you've had a lot of changes because you're now working with Automatic Directory. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
That's true. And before that, I moved my our household from Naples to Sarasota, Florida. And then I accepted the offer from Automatic to be a developer advocate for WordPress and continue to do the work on the Gutenberg Times and the Changelog and doing presentations. But now I'm getting paid for it. And that's a wonderful development. And I'm so grateful for Automatic to give me that opportunity.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody better to be a developer advocate, honestly. We were saying in the pre-show, I think you're so open to so much, and that's a big benefit to the community. So you know, thank you for taking that on.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet to say that.
Oh, you're welcome. What is the culture at Automatic like? You've only been there 3 or 4 weeks. How are you fitting in, and how is that going?
It's going very well. It's a lot to read, and there's a lot of communication going on. That's because it's a remote company. Everybody is remote. Everybody's on a different, not everybody in a different time zone, but you deal with time zone issues. And it's pretty much because it's a new team. I love the team. I think Anne McCarthy has been in the community quite a bit already for years. So has Daisy Olson. And with me also, Ryan Welcher joined the team at Automatic for developer advocacy. And so we are all pretty much a team that chooses their own adventures. So yeah, Anne is definitely the spearhead at the FSE, the full site editing program. Ryan started out with doing live coding on Twitch. Yeah, people should check
wow.
it out. Yeah, I do the Gutenberg Times. Daisy is doing workshops with theme developers. So there's all kind of different things. And then we, of course, we will support the upcoming release of WordPress 5.9. That's coming out in December 14th, if you want to put it in your calendar.
Yeah, and better in December than right before Black Friday or Cyber Monday, just from a change standpoint, right? I mean, December by the time we hit December 14th, I mean, we're pretty well into the holiday season, and I think that's a better timing, personally,
yeah.
than trying to do it in October. So,
yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. But I think the last 4 years there has been a December release, and the world didn't stop, and the internet didn't break, and whoever needed to have their site up and don't wanted to deal with an update, you just kind of push it into January. There is not a whole lot of that. Is missed in those 2 or 4 weeks.
I've actually pushed mine the last couple of years. I've pushed mine to the week after Christmas just to get out of the Christmas ecosystem. I have a couple of big WooCommerce clients, and last thing they need is a risk of a major update going in.
Yeah.
And I make that decision. I've actually gone in to all any website I maintain, and I've got over 100 websites on security updates at this point that mm-hmm. I manage. And I've actually turned off all the automatic updates. There's no way, no how. I'm a big believer that I need to do a manual backup before I do a major update. And that's just the way it is.
So. Totally. Yeah. If you have that amount of clients, you definitely have to do due diligence and keep yourself sane and not run into issues that you are not surprised with all that. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's so true. What are we at now? WordPress, depending on who you listen to, is about 43-44% of the website market on the internet. Is that still about right, or is that
increased? That's about right. I look at the W3 Tech data, and it's, I think, at 42.6% right now. So coming up on 43.
And I think we, you know, not that I want to go down this road for the purpose of this podcast, but I think we also got to stop dispelling the notion that WordPress is insecure. I mean, let's be pretty honest. There was, at the time of this record, there was a vulnerability announced with Ninja Forms yesterday that came out. It's already been patched. I mean, the reality is once you get into the 43% range, you just become more of a attempt for hackers because you're now getting market share. And the other reality is, as we're in this pandemic right now, all the hackers are sitting at home and they're as bored as we are. So what do bored hackers do? They find ways to get into trouble.
I think you're right. Yeah. Yeah. The attack kind of, it's when Microsoft was the target of a lot of malware for operating systems. WordPress is now kind of the Microsoft of the 21st century in that regard. But I the security problems that I faced when I was working with client sites, and we had quite a few, were always plugins that weren't updated. And very insecure passwords. So they were, the hackers were able to get in on an administrator level. And then, of course, all bets are off. So it's definitely those two things. I think about 95% of all the breaches kind of user inflicted, so to speak, or whoever maintains the website,
I would agree with you. And then the other thing that always bugs me, and we were talking in the pre-show, how I'm a little bit technical. My background before I got into marketing and website is actually very high-level programming and then very high-level tech support. And one of the things I always find is with backups is people say to me, oh, I've got a backup. And I say to them, have you ever attempted to restore that backup? Yeah. And many people think they have backups and they don't have restores, or they get into situations where, I don't know if you've been following this, the state of the host out of Quebec called WHC in the Montreal area, where somebody went through the backup server as well. So
that's not good. We were actually we are doing with our client side quite a big level of backup, and that one is the hosting company, of course. So we pay for that because that's the fastest restore, right? Yep. But then we also have offsite backup twice. So we run the backup through a service and always test the restore. I think every 3 months we test restores of backups on a staging server, just to be sure that there's still everything is working out. You're right. Backup without the restore doesn't really help you.
Doesn't really help you. So let's move on to what I really wanted to talk about, and that was your involvement in the Gutenberg community. And you created Gutenberg Times and the Gutenberg Changelog, two things that I absolutely love. I often watch the Times live or on a replay, and we were talking earlier, I've got the Changelog podcast on my smartphone, so it's, and in my podcast catcher, which is Pocket Cast, which is another automatic company, just for interest. Why did you create Gutenberg Times, and how did that all come about?
That takes us back to Europe, 2017, at WordCamp Europe. There was the first kind of video, demo video of the blog editor during the talk or the conversation that Matt Mullenweg had with O'Malik. And I was absolutely floored how that looked and how it worked. And I wanted to learn all about it. And I found that there was quite a, the early adopters were quite buzzing around the internet. And I was capturing that and how they're thinking about it, how they're working with it. So just for myself, I built a so-called Storyfy, which was a service that was available back then, where you just it was kind of an embed on one page. Yeah, you kind of could embed Twitter feed tweets, and then blog posts that were nicely pulled in, and other links, and you could add text to it. So it was a very fast curation system. And I was doing that, starting that end of June 2017. And by the time WordCamp US came, it had quite the following. But what also happened was that Adobe, who was the owner of Storyfy, announced the end of life for that tool for the next year, I think in spring. And then other people from the team said, well, you should have a newsletter to update people. So I kind of thought, okay, maybe I should do this more professionally, kind of, or pick a website and do it through the website to be on safe ground, because it was built on rented land. And whatever happened, what always happens on rented land, yeah, you kind of get screwed, right?
Yeah, and, I've had that discussion with many a client over the years. So, yeah.
So yeah, in January 2018, I started. I got my domain name, and then I created the website, and then pulled in some of the Storyfy updates, and kept doing what I was doing there. So I started a newsletter. I think in that, like April or May or something like that of 2018. And that's when it came about. There was 100 and, I don't know, 180 posts later or something like that. That is, yeah.
all too well on that one. And it's kind of like, for me, it's one of my go-to spots, and many people in the WordPress community, for Gutenberg information. You've had some amazing guests on the Times over the year. I mean, you know, and the one thing I like with our community, and I've always liked, is, can you imagine, and I do a lot of work in the marketing community as well, and the marketers, they're not so giving of their time, and they don't share information the way the WordPress people do.
And no, it's amazing. Yeah, you're right.
And in our community, we're also willing to say, you know, this is where we're at, and this is, and I need help. And you know, I think of my move to Castos, which we were talking about as a podcast, and I reached out to several people and said, "What do you think I should do?" People, and you know, people are more than willing to share their time or their stories or what I needed to help me out. And that's pretty amazing. So,
yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned our live Q&As on the YouTube channel. You're right. Yeah, we had some amazing people there from the community talking about how they adopt Gutenberg, or from the developer team. Like the last few were all about the new theme building experience that people are going to have with full site editing and theme JSON on that. And we will have another one, if I may say so, October 7th at 16 UTC, which is at noon Eastern time, with three amazing theme builders that have already gone full site editing with their newest theme.
Wow.
And it's Carolina Niemark and Ellen Bauer from New Zealand and Anders Noren, who did the 2020 theme, default theme. He also finished just his full, and they're going full site editing. They're going block patterns. And they had both, or all three of them, they had a kind of a 2-year ramp up experience from that, because I think the first time on the live Q&A we talked about full site editing was in January 2020 with Enrique Piqueras, who was a developer at that time. And it's so I'm looking very much forward to that conversation, because those are three different theme developers that are going that route, that are not on the Gutenberg team, and they're not working for Automattic. They're in the community and sharing their work and selling it, of course. But so it's also a business kind of conversation that we will have in at least one aspect, like what is it like to have to chase all the changes?
It's a lot of work. What is your take, Birgit, on full site editing? Do you think it's a positive move? I know there's been some controversy about it. How do you feel about it?
Well, I feel about it that it kind of will open up theme building for many more people, and it's a lot of users really want that they can decide on how they do templating. Yeah, I know of one person who has a blog, but she blogs a different kind of things. One of them is about, one section is about mental health. The other one is just about family and photography. And then the third one is about WordPress. And if she could have for each of those sections different layouts, then she wouldn't need to have three different sites, or she can have just keep people on the one section of that, and they don't have to deal with all the other non-related content that's on her blog. So I think that is really a path forward. I have seen quite a lot of site owners who wanted to change how the query block, or how the query, the list of their posts actually looks. They wanted to remove the date. They wanted to remove the author. They wanted to have the feature image bigger and the text less. And they always had to go back to their theme developers to make that happen, or hack in the theme themselves, but now they can do it just through the template editor that will come out and decide how their blog lists should look. They can say, okay, on this I have multiple pages that have different blog posts. Yeah, so one is the recipe for fish, the other one is the recipe for salad, and have different summary pages that come together and can really create their own publishing experience. And I think that the market is ripe, and we know the proliferation of page builders in the WordPress community was, in the last 5 years, it was huge. Yeah, so we know that is wanted by users. It's also good to get this standardized in the core. And it's still in development, so it's still not kind of up to par with page builders or something like that. But it shows already the way we're going. And the theme developers, some of the theme developers are really happy that they can actually give some of their users a different way to change colors and the global settings and all that. So I think it's a very positive development, and it's pretty much the second phase that was announced by Matt Mullenweg several State of the World ago. The four phases of Gutenberg. One was the post editor. Yeah. Phase two is the full set editing that comes to pass end of, it's not quite clear what will be in 5.9, but it will be in 5.9 and 6.0. And then the third phase is the collaborative editing part, the Google Docs-like collaborative editing.
Which is what I want. Blog.
Yeah, a lot of people are waiting for that. And then the fourth one is the multi-language site out of the box for WordPress, yeah, which has been a long time coming. I don't know, 18 years or so coming.
It's been, I mean, to do multi-language, you got to go to something like WPML or some plugin, and it's just overhead. And I personally think one of the best reasons to go to Gutenberg is speed. I mean, page builder bloat is getting ridiculous. So page builders are great. They do a lot of good stuff. But from a speed perspective, what a difference. I mean, if you go to Gutenberg, you will speed up your website. There's no question. And I think that alone, in the days of everybody trying to get a speed increase, because we all know speed is a factor in SEO rankings. And so I think that's a big help, right?
It's definitely a big help. But I also see that that's just a kind of a time thing. I'm sure the page builders will figure out how to make this faster in their own little environment there. So,
yeah, they will. Now, if somebody wanted to, and I know in our community, the community is still split. There's a pile of people who love Gutenberg, and there's a pile of people who hate Gutenberg. There's a well-known podcaster who I really don't want to mention his name that doesn't like Matt Mullenweg. I have nothing but the most respect for Matt personally. I had the pleasure of meeting Matt at a WordPress meetup in Toronto. He came into town for one of our meetups probably 4 or 5 years ago. I have the utmost respect for what he's done for our community. There's all kinds of people who are on the Classic Press bandwagon, which is still a minor. What's your take on all of that?
Well, it's choose your own adventure kind of way. And what I see is that the discussion about Gutenberg comes up every 6 or 8 months again with another wave of people coming in and saying, okay, I haven't done it before, but now I'm looking at it and I should have done it a year ago kind of thing. We see those posts all the time on Twitter or on some comments on blogs. And it's just, change is hard. And sometimes you don't have the time to invest to actually wrap your head around some things. And most people that are in the business are not in the business of creating content. So they are more like they're managing content, but they are not the creators, the ones that get their hand dirty and have to pull create content day after day after day. And for those, Gutenberg is a godsend because they don't have to learn a different interface. They can switch themes. Yeah, there were some page builders that had only short codes in there, and you couldn't change the theme because the theme was tied to the page builder and all that. There's a lot of adventure out there that was a little bit sidetracking. And but it's in phases. Yeah, there is a curve from adopting new technologies, and that's you probably heard it. It's called the one group is the innovators. Those are the ones that are producing things, and then comes the early adopters, and then comes the early majority, and then comes the late majority, and then comes the laggards, so to speak. And yeah. I think we are kind of now in the early majority is already there. I have customers who you are not going to Gutenberg because their site, as it's set up right now, doesn't work with it. Yeah, and they don't have the funding or to revamp their website to make it Gutenberg ready. And they also don't see the value, that additional value that would come with it. So that's certainly a very good business decision.
You have to kind of choose your poison, so to speak. I know we were talking in the pre-show. I'm in the middle of a Gutenberg move.
Yeah.
Somebody How's said to me, it's going. I have over 200 blog posts. So right now I'm in the middle of moving the blog post to Box. I haven't shifted the theme or the page builder, so I'm doing it in stages. And then I'm going to build a staging site and then redo the services pages. And the reason I've chosen this type of mode is it's also a good time to clean up. So there's no point in moving old stuff if it's not relevant anymore. And I'm kind of all in with Candace and Candace Box right now. And I'm really enjoying the move. It's an easy move. It's just a time consuming move. And, but that said, I've got clients that are on page editors and they're doing all their blog posts in Gutenberg. They actually find Gutenberg so much easier than the classic editor to write a blog post. And that's, to me, the big deal here is how do your clients find it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did in fall 2018. Yes, 2018. I did a demonstration of Gutenberg because it was coming to core. Yeah, so I think December 2018, it came into core, and I did a presentation at a nonprofit technology conference about content creation with the blog editor and why it's coming, what it's doing, and then I did some demos, and I had about 40 people in there that were all kind of, whoa, you don't need a PhD anymore to create content in WordPress. Or when is it coming? Can I use it now? I said, yeah. Yeah, they were really so expectant of, really pleasantly surprised how WordPress changes from that very hard classic editor to the very pleasantly easy to use Gutenberg. That's what I meant. That I had in mind when I was starting with a Gutenberg, with kind of writing about Gutenberg, in early on, because I saw the sprinkle or the sparkle in people's eyes when they see how they can use it. Yeah. So, I'm not surprised. That you say it's easier because as a blogger doing it every day, what you could consider or your listeners might consider, there are a few converters to blogs available as plugins. So that you can say, okay, convert everything to blogs from my classic content. They are still with a grain of salt, but you at least get the most of the thing done, and you can do your editing a little later, and say, okay, even if it's converted, I'm not gonna keep that post, content audit that you're doing at the same time. But you could probably save yourself some time using one of the block converters, and I can share the link with it That's the WP Tavern. Justin Tadlock did a comparison between, he has this nice Ask the Bartender kind of post once in a while, and this one he did a comparison between three plugins. One is Block Converter, that's from by Organic Themes. They had to do it for a client of theirs, so they opened it up and shared it with the community. And then TenUp has a Convert to Blocks plugin on GitHub. And then there was another one by Frank Klein, who also has a he had a website, Bulk Convert to Blocks, but I just saw it's not working anymore. So strike that.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing the link, and I'll share that in the show notes for anybody that would like. The problem I've had, silly me, is I did all my blog posts in my page builder. So you know what fun I'm having in the middle of this conversion.
Oh, yeah. Of course, that only converts from classic editor kind of thing, not from page builders. And further down in the comments of that post, you also see a Newspack content converter that's done by Automatic, who have that Newspack is a site for local news. It's definitely worth looking into before you get started on, converting 400 blog posts by hand.
Well, as I say, it's a good time to do a content audit. I think one of the biggest problems that bloggers do or people in their business do is they don't look at their website. I did the last one I did was 2.5 years ago when I actually made a move away. I don't do traditional blogging like many people anymore. I typically on my business site do podcasts, so I've and videos, so I haven't written a full length blog post in 3 years, and I made that decision. So I did a content purge the last time, and I'm going to do another one this time. And that's just, but people need to start looking at doing things like that as they move forward.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and use it as an opportunity. Now, if somebody wants to learn Gutenberg or want to get into it, besides the times and the changelog, which I think they should go to anyway, what are some other good sources for people to get started?
Well, I saw that easywpguide.com has just updated their tutorials and their with the 5.8 WordPress. So this is the most up-to-date way to learn about Gutenberg blocks. You can, of course, also go to the WordPress.org support forums articles. There is that has a lot of documentation about it. But because it's volunteer run, it might not be up to the latest WordPress version, but it definitely gets you started. There's also a WP Beginner, definitely has a good article about how to use the block editor from the content creation part. And I'm forgetting one source right now, but sorry.
That's okay. That's a good start. I think the biggest thing with what people should do is, if they're not sure, create a test site and then honestly jump in and play with it. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I decided to make the move, I guess about a month ago or about 5 weeks ago, and said I need to go in with this. And we were talking earlier, one of my big pushes was I was sitting on the fence, and I sat and watched a webinar that Spencer Forman did. And I've said to Spencer, both publicly and privately, thank you for the push, because that's the push I needed. And I, for me, I'm just, I'm just all in. I mean, I have a basic personal site. There's no page editor on that one. It's actually running Astra and Cadence Box. And I've said what my stack is for my my business site. And I think in the long run, I'll be much better off doing it than not doing it personally. But that's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely future-proof all your sites by making the switch now. Even if you're kind of not using all the bells and whistles, but getting away from a page builder, being on the standard WordPress outlet software version, I think future-proofs definitely your online business, yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. I was thinking back the other day to the history of themes, and I don't know if you were familiar before they got into all their money problems with a product called Headway Themes. And Headway, in essence, built their own type of block system at the time. And I don't know if you ever used it.
No, I didn't. And it was a little bit before my time.
And it was, I think they were kind of throwing something out there that the bulk of the market wasn't ready for at the time. So I think they were an innovator, but we all know in products, the right place and the right time. And they got into money problems for a number of reasons. If anybody ever wants to revisit that, Jeff Chandler had written some articles when he was involved with WP Tavern or in the archives at a tavern. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to drudge that story back up. But why I mention Headway is they had a internal block-based system way ahead of the Gutenberg system.
Oh, and WordPress is coming really late to the game. Yeah. Medium is block-based. Adobe's Spark is a block-based system. And I forgot a few others that had gone block-based many, many years ago. So the concept of block-based editors or block-based content creation, MailChimp went block-based several years ago.
Yeah.
So I think only the WordPress space has not seen block-based editing. That's why the discussion is still ongoing. Yeah, but for the business world that had dealt with other content management systems, it's clear that block-based is the way to go. Yeah, so I'm not surprised that there was already someone doing block-based content in the WordPress space, but of course the discussion was not there yet. Yeah.
And to be frank, another open source CMS, Joomla, is headed towards Gutenberg as well, from what I've read. So they're all in with the Gutenberg type system themselves. So I mean,
so is Drupal, actually.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's interesting. So so where do you see somebody that's really involved deep in Gutenberg for a long time, where do you see Gutenberg going in the long term?
Well, it's definitely will spark some additional creativity in the space in terms of design, in terms of going back to the theme designing rather than programming part. And the designers are all really excited about it. That they can concentrate on the design of things and not so much about making it easy for other people, because block patterns is going really well. Anders Noren, his new theme, and the WB Tavern, Justin Tadlock also wrote about it. It comes with 40 block patterns. That's kind of the most surprising thing, is how block patterns really takes off. And the meta team on WordPress.org is now working. They have released the block pattern directory a couple of months ago with about 84 block patterns. It is translated into, I think, 5 or 10 languages already. And Yeah, that it will come. So the next step would be full page layouts that come with themes as block patterns. So someone who needs to create content can look through the list of block patterns and just grab the one that will fit the content that they need, and then just fill in the blanks, change out one picture or something like that, and then be so much faster with content creation. That's one part. And then for bigger teams, the collaborative editing is definitely going to be there for those, so they don't have to have other outside tools to use. They can use it right there in their website. I also see that I lost the train of thought. Sorry.
That's okay. I should tell you, I so love block patterns. That's, if you know, to me, that's one of the most compelling features that for me makes design so much easier. And and the other thing is some of the templating features and the fact you can create reusable blocks. And I think mastering reusable blocks would make people's life so much easier, to be honest.
Yeah. Absolutely, and template parts. And the thought that I lost is back. And what the Meta team is working on now is that you can submit, as a designer, your block patterns to the directory, so it can help other people. Every WordPress users can see block patterns. You don't have to go through the effort to do themes and all that. And the next part is what a lot of site implementers probably don't know yet, but that's definitely in the works, is that you can export a theme with the templates that you created on one site, export it, and upload it to a different site.
Yes.
So you can have your starter theme, so to speak, and then adopt it to whatever the need of that new site is, and you're going from zero to release in a much shorter time frame than before.
It's so true. It's the same idea where a lot of people in the design create a starter site, and then they use a migration tool to dump it in. To me, this just makes that so much easier.
And And with a templating engine, then there will also be some of the core committers are also discussing starter content for themes. So when you have for vertical, certain pages that are kind of preloaded that only need to be updated from the copy part, those things will definitely be easier with the full site editing environment than before.
Yeah, I would agree. It's amazing where we've come with this. I mean, as we talked about earlier, 2 years ago, I remember when WordCamp when Gutenberg was announced to go into core at WordCamp US 3 years ago, and we had Toronto's WordCamp was the week before WordCamp US. And there was all kinds of concern over Gutenberg and the likes and the don't likes. And I think people would be better off, personally, having played with it as much as I have lately, just embracing it. If I had had Gutenberg the way it is now 4 years ago, I probably would have made the move away from a page builder 4 years ago. So I think they would be better off going that way in the long run, personally. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. Well, I totally agree. But everybody knew that who knows a little bit about me.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
Yeah, the December 6th, that was WordCamp US, and it was the day before the WordCamp US started, and I was in the sponsor hall because I was part of the organizing team and the sponsor team. And then there was Gary Pendergast, John DeRosia, William Earhart, and Tammy Lister were sitting on one of the tables a little bit to the side, And somewhere I heard they're releasing WordPress now. And it was such an anticlimax moment, yeah, where I know, okay, normally there would have been kind of fireworks everywhere and everywhere I had celebration. And there was just, it all happened on the internet. It didn't break, but it was also not, I had hoped for a lot more champagne or something like that. But there was, it was just the unassuming way, yeah, we're releasing WordPress and that's what we do today.
Yeah,
kind of. It was very interesting, yeah.
Yeah, for me, it was anticlimactic because, as I say, WordCamp Toronto was the week before, and I had had conversation with some people in the Toronto WordPress community, and I said, I know what's going to happen at WordCamp US. So I dropped into the hallway, grabbed my smartphone, jumped onto Facebook Live and said, guess what, folks? Whether you like it or not, Gutenberg's going to drop next weekend at WordCamp US. And I should tell you, the hate mail I got, Bergen.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I don't steer away from controversy, but I also don't steer away from saying the right thing that matters. Mm-hmm. And that was the right thing at the time. It was like the dust was in the air. The rumors were all there. And, you know, and I had big discussion with some people, you know, in the Toronto community. I said, I'm going to make a call. It's going to drop next week. And then we all know what happened. And the rest is kind of history, isn't it?
The internet didn't break.
No, the internet doesn't break. I think people just need to get with the program. One thing I was going to say was, being a guy who does a lot of WooCommerce stuff, and I know our mutual friend Bob Dunn runs the amazing Do the Woo podcast, and we've had discussion I've had with Bob over Gutenberg many times, and I have to tell you, Gutenberg makes doing WooCommerce much easier from my perspective. It really does.
Oh, I imagine that it does. Yeah, but they haven't embraced the blocks completely yet, because they still want to do some amazing things in the user. It's not a very good experience to do products with Gutenberg right now, and they're still doing it with the classic editor. If you want to pull in the blocks or the products into blog posts and pages, yeah, that's where the block editor comes in. But to create those products, they're still working with the classic editor. And I saw in one of them, Darren Ether from the team actually published the roadmap when WooCommerce is going through two blocks in certain stages. So I'm trying to find it.
It's okay. I mean, it's a bit of a different, and I think part of it is we just got to be careful. You're dealing with WooCommerce stores. You're dealing with companies that are making money. I have one client right now, no word of lie, he's got 422 items in his WooCommerce store. So you got to, and he's not moved. He's not bought in on Gutenberg yet, because he will be for speed, but that's a major migration for him. And that's that's what we got to understand, is people still have businesses to run, especially running Woo stores. It's really hard doing that. And we just got to keep businesses running, and people got to realize that. So
and everybody can do this on their own time and has to do it. Yeah, there is no sense in rushing things and everything. So I found the roadmap for WooCommerce block adoption. So I peek in the WooCommerce blocks roadmap. And I, if you want to share that in your show notes,
gladly,
because he talks about the card and the checkout blocks, and then the some iteration on that. Also, publish a documentation and reach out to the marketplace for the developers to integrate the new checkout flow. And all that full-site editing comes with the query loop block or the post list block. It's definitely going to be also a product block where you can have multiple display products in a summary or in kind of a grid or mosaic kind of things. And then the global styles will come with the full-site editing where you can change the color scheme and all the colors on with an interface on WooCommerce blog. So that blog post and blog is kind of interesting. Is certainly worth reading for anybody who has a WooCommerce store or is helping other people with their WooCommerce stores.
I think. You know, the chat, you mentioned the checkout process walk and all of that. And I think that's one thing I really, from my standpoint, I hope they get right. Checkout is always an issue. We all know that.
Yeah.
We know the easiest road to get somebody in a WooCommerce store to check out is to make the checkout process as seamless and as easy as possible. So I So I think that's one spot. And I know there's been some third-party vendors have written several plugins for Woo to kind of make that process more seamless. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of movement in that space. But, I mean, I think that's just something we got to get right. So
Yeah. Card abandonment is really a critical issue. And whatever you can do to avoid that is definitely good for the bottom line.
Yeah, it was funny. I was listening to our friend Jeff Chandler on WP Mainline, and he was telling a story. I think he was saying how his wife will actually deliberately abandon her cart, knowing she's going to get a coupon in the mail, in her email, saying, by the way, you know, if you go and buy this stuff, we'll knock 10% off. I have to tell you, I've gone recently to the same approach where I just let stuff sit there for 24 hours and let the store send me something and then I'll take my discount and then buy it. So,
yeah.
it's called gamifying the system a little bit, but
playing it against it. Yeah. But it's quite legitimate to know, if you know that. Yeah. That's kind of an insider move there.
Yeah. Just a little bit. So I want to thank you for your time. I really enjoy talking about Gutenberg and Automattic. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
Well, the best way is I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is BPH, my initials. Yeah. Direct messaging is open if you don't want to do publicly. I'm certainly available on email, Pauli, P-A-U-L-I, at gutenbergtimes.com. Via email, or I hang out on the WordPress Slack. Also, BPH is the handle there. Also, there private messaging. You can always kind of ping me, and I might not answer right away depending on the time zone, but I always answer.
Yeah. As I said to you before, you're one of the most approachable people I know. If anybody's got to reach out, I've reached out over and you're approachable. The Slack beast, I was saying in a tweet this morning, I think I need to get off my, you know what, and get on there because I have avoided the Slack beast like nothing. And, you know, having come from an original IRC background, I just decided I wasn't going to go down that road. And I'm almost at the position where because of all the WordPress chatter going on Slack, I have to get there and sort of say, I just need to do it.
<That's all. laughs> Well, it's where most of the contributors hang out. There are about 30,000 people in that. Am I right? Maybe it's more. And it's easy to get a hold of somebody from the community when you're looking for something or when you want to put something together. It's just very easy to communicate. What I strongly suggest that you not do, because I did that and I was kind of floored. Don't join all the channels or all the channels that you think you want to. Just two or three or four main ones, and then keep the fire hose of messaging really low and switch off notifications.
Yes.
Slack is asynchronous, like email, but without the effort of email, that you need somebody's email address or something like that. And there's a lot of public discussion there. Yeah, like the core editor meeting is on Wednesday, 10 a.m. Eastern, in the core-editor channel. And it's interesting to see, to kind of listen through the read through this. They're all chat meetings, to see if there's something that they're talking about. They're coordinating the work, so you know what's in the works and what's kind of coming out. But of course, it's very technical. So there is no support on Slack. That's also something that the support happens on the support forums on WordPress.org. There is no Slack channel for support.
And honestly, a really good spot to get support is to jump on Twitter and use the hashtag WordPress and ask your question. There's a number of people on Twitter who will jump in and be helpful and help you out in the community. And we said this earlier in the podcast, it's one of the things I like most about this community is getting help. And if you're a Facebook person, I know you're not. I know I'm almost not, but for other reasons, I'm still there, but not really there. And I know people like Bob Dunn are not. Bob's given up Facebook. There are a multitude of groups on Facebook, too, if people want to jump in, run by community members and get some help.
That's correct,
So there's all kinds of ways to get help. Mm-hmm. Birgit, thank you very much for your time. This has been an amazing conversation.
Thank you, Robert. It was really, you said it. It was amazing. Yeah, I'm really glad that we had this conversation today.
You have a wonderful day, and we'll talk soon.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
A very special thank you to Birgit for joining me on this edition of the SDM Show. Talking all things Gutenberg was an amazing conversation, and thanks for your time. It's been much appreciated. Thank you for listening to this edition of the SDM Show. This podcast is brought to you by Stunning Digital Marketing. For links to Stunning Digital Marketing and Rob Cairns, please go to stunningdigitalmarketing.info. This podcast is dedicated to Rob's late father, Bruce Cairns. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. Make your business succeed. Bye for now.